Just to start with, any team news, any injury issues going into this one?
No, I think we're in reasonable shape. Fraser Richardson, unfortunately, won't be fit till Monday. Could play if it was a risk. Richard Wood, back in full training Monday. Anthony Wadsworth still out, of course. Other than that, all good to go.
Are you pleased with the new signings that you brought in? That they've settled in well, haven't they?
Oh, yeah, they've settled in okay, aren't they? They're playing terrifically well, each and every individual one of them, because you have to measure them as individuals, and I think we've said that they've come in as we sort of worked on the development of changing our style, and they've been a big part of that.
Was there any fear at all with them being young guys that they might just find the championship a bit daunting, or did you always believe that they could hit the ground running?
No, I don't think Tom Lawrence finds it daunting when he's played for Manchester United. I don't think Reece James finds the championship daunting when he's played for Manchester United. Young Scotty Wooten, many games in the championship, of course, for Leeds. And the boy Desmond, of course, many games in the championship with Middlesbrough. So as much as they've got young years about their age, they've got good experience in the football heads.
Well, they're good characters as well. Because some younger guys are maybe a little bit reserved when they go to a new team on loan. Have they been good to have in the dressing room as well?
Yeah, isn't it great when young men go on the training ground and the first thing they do is shake the hands of the coaching staff, and at the end of a session they shake the hands of the coaching staff and thank them for the session. And when you ask where that comes from, they say it's just the way things are done at Manchester United. And I know for a fact it's done the same way at Chelsea. And I know now it's done at Manchester City. So, and I know also for a fact it's done at like the Barcelona and Real Madrid. I'm not saying every player goes around in a happy clappy club, but it's nice that they can show some appreciation.
What do the players usually do to the coaching staff after a training session?
Well, they're normally mourning, aren't they? Because you normally give them a wee bit of running to finish. But it's great because it's endorsed others here. And others have probably refocused their values and what they used to do and how they've been taught. You know, we get some players in here who have started at some top clubs themselves. And it's great. I said 3 weeks ago that the three or four lads coming in just, you know, almost embraced the place and lifted everything about it. And you know, sometimes when you do that, others follow, and that's what's happened to you.
I know you're a manager who loves to plan ahead, so have you spoken to their clubs about potentially keeping them longer term?
Yeah, Paul Douglas is having those chats now with each and every one of those clubs. We'd like to keep each of them, but we're very mindful that those decisions lie first and foremost with the parent club, and then secondly, the players. But again, I know for a fact, I'm talking facts today, but I know for a fact that each one of those players would like to stay here and extend their time with us. And obviously that's now down to the parent club.
This time last year, you were a couple of weeks away from significant moves in the January transfer window, which set you up to win a promotion. Do you expect to make big changes again, or do you think it won't be quite the same as last year?
Well, I think if we had what we had in terms of the loan players staying in, there'd still be one or two changes, but it won't be significant. Obviously, if the loan players return, we need to fill some gaps. But we've got the opportunity of trying to keep these loan players, and we have alternatives should their parent clubs decide that they go back. So we're living a very focused world that we've got different options.
At this time of year, are clubs willing to sort of negotiate? What is the transfer market like? Do clubs tend to wait until January starts, or are the phones ringing all the time at this
time? No, it's started. Started now, and the window is opened, really. People are having conversations to see if you can have an agreement in place with parent clubs. And then I would think after the games on the 28th, there's a little break in the Football League for the first time where we don't play again to the 10th, although there's an FA Cup tie in between. I think from the 29th and the 30th and 31st, New Year's Eve, there'll be busy days leading up to the 1st.
Why is it so important, in your view, to be as active as possible, as quickly as possible? Is it just the danger of, you know what, if we wait, we're going to miss out on players we need?
Well, I don't always think it's a case if you wait. As our chairman said, you know, football is very much, if you've got three targets, you could land your top target, or you could fail on your 1, 2, or 3 and you're into below that. And sometimes you fail for different reasons, whether that you can agree an agreement with the parent club, or whether you're going to buy them. If a fee can be agreed, and there's agents and everyone else involved, and it tends to take a lot these days to get deals over the line.
In terms of one of the players you've already brought to this club, when you signed Johnson Clark Harris, he was very much one that you wanted to work on as a project. Was that the same with Jordan Bowery? I mean, is he a project as well? Does he need time at this club? Because even though he'd made the move to Aston Villa, he still hadn't played a ton of games, had he?
Well, it was a massive jump for Jordan, wasn't it, going from Chesterfield to Aston Villa? And some could argue in some people's careers the jump was too big, hence why he's come back. But when I signed Johnson Clark Harris and Jordan, of course, we said that both would probably need a season to learn how to play at this level, to learn how to play for us and how we would work in their development. You know, we're delighted with Jordan. He obviously is a requirement and wants more game time, wants more time on the pitch. But then he has to make sure that he has every member of staff sitting here when I pick the team saying to me, we have to play this boy, because at the minute I've got the staff telling me I need to play Ledesma, I need to play Pringle, I need to play Ravel, I need to play Lawrence. They're looking through it systematically like that, and it needs to be through either training ground games, closed door games, reserve games or whatever it is. Then people need to prove a point. You know, Johnson Clark Harris proves a point this week. We travel to Manchester United for a closed door reserve game. We win 2-0, he scores 2. The second goal, a stunning finish. He's starting to prove a point.
How do you weigh up working with the players here, working in those development games, working on the training ground with those guys yourself, compared to maybe letting them go out on loan just to get some football elsewhere?
Well, I think there's two decisions behind whether players go on loan. I think the first thing, do they need competitive match, first team action? Because nothing can beat that. It doesn't matter how many times we play in a training ground or how many times we replicate reserve games. Nothing can beat first team action. And maybe secondly, if you don't see that player getting into the team for the next, whatever the loan period is, whether it be 28 days, 4 games, 5 games, whether it be longer, then you need to try and facilitate by letting them go on loan. Because footballers are bred and born and knock on your door to play football, but it has to then be right for the football club first, but it also has to be right for the players as well.
Would Bowery be a candidate to go out on loan, or would you like to keep him here to work with him?
Oh, he's not going out on loan. Weeford, Chesterfield and God knows who else ask for him. You know, he's not available.
In terms of Luciano Becchio, what's the latest there? I know you're going to get asked about this an awful lot at the moment, but is he any closer to a return?
Well, he's back in training at Norwich. You know, is he going to be back before a loan option to keep him finishes? No, because that's just over a week's time, beginning of January. So, but you know, would I rule out Luciano coming back here? No, I wouldn't. So we'll just need to wait and see what January brings.
Is that a frustrating one for you, that when he came here, I remember talking to you and it was such an exciting signing, that he's got this injury, unfortunate, I guess, for the club and for the player?
I read a bit in the Norwich press this week when I think one of the journalists down there asked the question, when was the last footballer to go out with a fractured heel? And it's such an unusual injury to happen on its own. But we've been kicked from pillar to post with injuries all season. You know, from Richardson to Wood to, you know, to Becchio to, you know, to Frecklington to Green to Ravel. We've had them all, haven't we? But we've never once complained about it. So as we're approaching Santa Claus time, I'm not going to start complaining now.
Is he perhaps one of the players that in the last few games you've maybe just needed someone who can get you that goal? Is that the type of player that you maybe lacked?
Well, I think every team needs someone that can put the ball in the net. You know, I think we all watched a good Liverpool performance beat Bournemouth in a cup in the week, and they had to put the boy Sterling up to create a bit of movement and get a goal. But we all need players that can get a goal. But, you know, whether that's Luciano or whether it's Jordan or Jono or whatever, because it also falls upon my responsibility to make sure those guys get a chance.
Wigan have not had the kind of season that I think everybody expected. They've had a managerial change. What do you make of them at the moment?
I think in terms of the Championship, they've got one of the most gifted squads on paper, but a football match has never been won on paper. But they've got some real talent, and hence why at the start of the season the bookmakers had them one of the big favourites for automatic promotion, given that Dave Whelan had once again invested heavily in his squad and signed some good players, and invested heavily probably by turning down some lucrative offers for players that had just come out of the Premiership. And Woody, I think they've obviously changed the managers, but they've now got a guy that I grew up with in Glasgow, a real good guy, Malky Mackay. And you know, I think when the dust settles a little bit and he's probably allowed to focus nothing but his job, I think Wigan will finish in the top half of the table.
I asked Stuart Gray about the Malky Mackay returning to football this soon situation. He said he was delighted that he was back in the game and was pleased to see him get an opportunity. Is that the kind of sentiment that you would echo then?
Well, I was with Malky a few weeks ago on the pro licence up at Hampden, and listen, I know Malky didn't tell me this, but I know for a fact we'd have all been watching him on Match of the Day, wouldn't we? Because he would have been the Crystal Palace manager in preference to Neil. But obviously circumstances of when how he left Cardiff and what came out latterly stopped that. But, you know, sometimes if someone makes a mistake or two, and they've made a mistake or two, which evidently Malky would put his hands up to and he has done, then you give him a slap. But you know, there must be a chance to rebuild the life. He's the opposite to what people are trying to claim he is. I'll say it as it is. He is a upstanding, you know, gentleman. And I can say that as well as a friend, but we're not the closest of friends. We're probably closer when we were in our younger years. But he's, you know, I think he's a good appointment by Wigan, and I hope he's allowed just to do his job. But I hope it starts on the 28th or the 26th, not on Saturday.
What does it say about the Championship that a team like Wigan is where they are in the league, and that Fulham have had their struggles as well this year? What does it say about the strength of the division, do you think?
Well, you look at the strength of the division, you look at who's all within 3 or 4 points of odds, you know, and hey, we're there, but you're looking at not only Wigan, you're looking at Brighton Hove Albion. What a fantastic football club they are. A stadium in the Amex, which is just sublime, a 30 million plus training facility they've just opened. And you're right to then say Bolton Wanderers, and our club with great historic values, Huddersfield. You know, there's a lot of very proud football clubs, and the two proud football clubs will meet tomorrow, Wigan and Rotherham.
How important is it, I know it's still early days, but to put a bit of space between yourselves and Wigan, whenever there's a team near you in the table, whether it's at the top or the bottom, you want to do that, don't you?
Well, it's a big game for both clubs, isn't it? And we couldn't address it in any other way. Is it going to be the difference what happens at the end of the season? We'll only know at the end of the season. We'll only know when the points get counted up, what each other's got. But, you know, it's more important that when you're playing teams around you, you don't lose and you get a positive result if you can. And it's such fine margins in the Championship these days, it really is frightening. We looked at some statistics based on a recent match, not involving ourselves, between Watford and Cardiff, where Watford had something like 70-odd% possession, 700 passes. Cardiff had 70 passes, had hardly any possession, and won 1-0. Mm-hmm. So it's the finest of margins that win games. And we just need to make sure that our superiority in terms of keeping the ball and moving the ball that we've had in the last three games can have an end product and we get a victory. Because our performances in the last three games, and any neutral would watch in those games would agree we should have 9 points. But reality is we've got three. But
do you it's three margins. Do you enjoy the Christmas period with all the games?
Well, we'll enjoy the Christmas period because we'll be working. I'm not so sure the players have seen the schedule and are too happy, but... You know, it's no secret for us that we're training Christmas Day. I think most clubs do these days anyway. We play Boxing Day, and then because we're away on the 28th, we'll train on the 27th and board the coach. So really Christmas, is, as far as Rotherham United players and staff as it goes, is written off. But if we have two or three good results and get some points on the board, then perhaps we're going to sit down and have a turkey on the 30th.